Okay, welcome everyone to our call today, put on by the BDA Fellowship. Our BDA Fellowship-wide call called Living the Promises, Members Share Their Journey in BDA. I'm Mary Jane, and I'm a recovering compulsive debtor, and I will be the moderator for our call today. Okay, so before we begin with our first speaker, I am going to go ahead and just read the 12 Promises of Debtors Anonymous. And I'll read it from the Debtors Anonymous Manual for Service. In the program of Debtors Anonymous, we come together to share our journey in recovering from compulsive debting. There is hope. When we work DA's 12 steps and use DA's 12 tools, we develop new ways of living and begin to receive these gifts of the program. One, where once we felt despair, we will experience a newfound hope. Two, clarity will replace vagueness. Confidence and intuition will replace confusion and chaos. We will live engaged lives, make decisions that best meet our needs, and become the people we were meant to be. Three, we will live within our means, yet our means will not define us. Four, we will begin to live a prosperous life, unencumbered by fear, worry, resentment, or debt. Five, we will realize that we are enough. We will value ourselves and our contributions. Six, isolation will give way to fellowship. Faith will replace fear. Seven, we will recognize that there is enough. Our resources will be generous and we will share them with others and with DA. Eight, we will cease to compare ourselves to others. Jealousy and envy will fade. Nine, acceptance and gratitude will replace regret, self-pity, and longing. 10. We will no longer fear the truth. We will move from hiding in denial to living in reality. 11. Honesty will guide our actions towards a rich life filled with meaning and purpose. And 12. We will recognize a power greater than ourselves as the source of our abundance. We will ask for help and guidance and have faith that it will come. All this and more is possible when we work this program with integrity and to the best of our ability, one day at a time, a life of prosperity and serenity will be ours. Okay. I just want to reiterate here that the speaker portion of this call is being recorded. All speakers consent by their participation to having the recording uploaded to the DA website at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcasts. Okay, so our first speaker is Bill from Virginia in the United States. He will be offering his experience, strength, and hope in regards to his journey in BDA, as a promise is coming true for him. Bill, our timekeeper, Bruce, will give you a 10-minute warning, a 5-minute warning, and then a 1-minute warning. We are very much looking forward to hearing from you.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing from me as well. So, my name is Bill. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive debtor and also a business owner. Let me take a couple of minutes and just sort of start out where I've come from and where I've been. And who I am. I grew up in a upper middle class home. My dad was drafted into the Korean War. Went around doing draft physicals. Liked the he was a doctor. Liked the South so much that we moved to the southernmost suburb, the sunniest suburb of New York City, a.k.a. North Miami Beach. I grew up with some vagueness and expectations and things about who I was and what I was going to do and so forth. And as a result, I really became a card-carrying, low-bottom, ordinary, gerbil wheel-chasing compulsive debtor. I just if I wanted it, I thought I could get it. And because my income was insufficient for my wants, as it were, I wound up with a lot of debt. And so some long time ago in the area of Washington, D.C., of which I'm in the Northern Virginia suburbs, I was at a meeting, and we were having a set of conversations about fears and anxieties and so forth, and someone in the meeting made one of those gestures or examples of what we, you know, currently think of as money gestures, as it were. And lo and behold, I went up to that person afterwards and asked them, and they said, yes, indeed, there was a meeting that very Sunday, and it was downtown in D.C., which meant a little bit of a commute, but yet, indeed, there was a meeting. And as a person who was in, who had some experience in 12 steps and some success, I thought, okay, this might be for me. I feel the despair. I feel the vagueness. I feel the confusion and chaos and so forth that are in the promises of Debtors Anonymous. And I have shared about this recently as well, but the first time that I walked into that meeting in downtown D.C., it was a pretty large group of people, and I heard my story. That was very clear. I heard my story. I heard people who, you know, thought like I thought or felt like I felt and so forth, and in some very real sense, I walked out of that meeting and promise one had come true. I did have a newfound hope. In fact, the way I describe it is that I came into that meeting with many, many, many debting burdens, the sorts of things that that people who live beyond their means, as it were, come to get. And so I had debt. I had a lot of it, and I couldn't pay it all. I couldn't pay it off. I couldn't even keep up with the payments. And in some very real way, I don't know, white light experience, whatever, I walked out of that meeting debt-free. And although had a long process to become unsecured debt, truly unsecured debt-free, I was in the sense that we talk about here in these 12 promises, I was debt free. I didn't have that tie into my soul or whatever. I didn't have it anymore, and I can't really explain it any more than that. And you know, I'm not a person of, you know, deep religious belief or so forth. But I can just tell you that I went to that meeting with despair and vagueness and confusion and so forth and so on, and I walked out debt-free. And it took me a long time to pay off the money I owed, but I was debt-free. And so really I can say that from the very beginning, the 12 promises began to come true for me. And when I started in the late 1980s, we didn't even have these promises yet. That was a later addition to the literature. So I do want to spend just a few minutes sort of talking about my business Debtors Anonymous, my BDA journey, just a few moments. I came to the program, I started to work the tools and the steps and so forth and so on, and my pressure relief group sort of advised me, helped me see that the businesses that I had engaged in up to that point they all lost money. I laugh in retrospect. I never had a business that actually made money. Now, fortunately, it wasn't my primary source of income. I wasn't a full-time business owner at that time. I had jobs and so forth that were my primary, and these were, for lack of a better word, I'll say hobby businesses. However, the bottom line is that they never made any money. And so, on the advice and counsel of my pressure group and so forth, as I worked through it, basically part of my solvency was getting rid of all that. And then fast forward many, many years, and I'm working for somebody, there's a whole series of events and so forth. That person is likely to go under as a result, or they're really going to scale back their business. And I'm in looking for things, and I'm going through a period of unemployment. And in the course of that moment, I met my wife, who is a fellow traveler. In this program, we met in the fellowship. We hit it off, and eventually we got married. And she had the entrepreneurial bug, and all I could remember was fear and isolation and I wasn't enough and so forth. And fortunately, between the two of us and sponsors and pressure relief people and so forth, we put together the wherewithal to go into business together. And my business has been very, very prosperous. For the first time in many, many years. Well, we're now 10 years in a new house.
That's 10 minutes left.
10 minutes left. Thank you. And we're living a very, very good life. And we're doing it because, what it says at the top of this, which is that when we work the 12 steps and use DA's, and I'll just parenthetically say, and BDA's tools, we receive these gifts of the program. So we made a conscious decision that our business would follow the promises and the BDA tools, and that we, in our personal lives, would treat our business in that way. And so I have to say that my 12-step promise life, my DA life, is filled with literally all of these promises. I'm experiencing them truly on a daily basis. So I'm going to go down through all 12. And I know I only got probably about 7 or 8 minutes left, but I'll be very quick, and I'll just say. So the first one says, where once we felt despair, we will experience a newfound hope. And so every day when I get up, I remember and I'm aware of what it felt like to be despairing, and I put my face firmly towards hope and so forth, and I celebrate every single day that hope. And then it says, clarity will replace vagueness. Yep, I keep my numbers. I still look at things. I still have pressure groups and so forth and so on. I don't have them very often, I got to say, in all honesty. Anyways, I have accountants and lawyers and doctors and so forth that, you know, that give us some very, very explicit details. Confidence and intuition will replace confusion and chaos. I had a lot of confusion and chaos. I was always on the gerbil wheel. Today, I have a lot of confidence and my intuition, my meditative connection to a higher power's will for me works. And I live an engaged life, and I make decisions that may at best meet my needs. I do have to say that there's often times when it goes back and forth. And then the last thing is very interesting for those who don't necessarily know, become the people we were meant to be is a catchphrase from our founder who said that was one of the key things that he felt that DA brought to him. I live within my means, but they don't define me. I live a very prosperous life, but, you know, that's it. I live a very prosperous life. We'll begin to live a prosperous life unencumbered by fear, worry, resentment, or debt. Now, I don't say that those things don't occur from time to time. Fear and worry certainly do. Lord knows I'm as human as the next person, and so occasionally resentment happens. Debt does not. I just don't live that way. But I'm just going to say that that's how it goes. We will realize that we are enough. We will value ourselves and our contributions. I spent a lot of time feeling singled out and less and a failure and so forth. And DA has really helped me to see that I'm doing good and I'm contributing. And then it says, isolation will give way to fellowship, faith will replace fear. So I have a community, so to speak, of a community of people and sponsors and sponsees and so on and so forth. And I'm a former board member, so there's the what they call the DAFTI Club, DA Former Trustees. And so that's where I am. And then it says, this is crucial. We will recognize that there is enough. Our resources will be generous, which I believe has happened for me. Thank you. And we will share them with others and with DA. So my resources are generous, and I do, in fact, make a regular contribution to DA. But more importantly, I give service back to the community, to places and things and people and so forth. So... You know, because I believe I got to pay it forward. I was rescued, truly rescued. I don't know how life would have gone had I not found DA. But I'm happy to be here. I am grateful to be here. So number 8 says, we will cease to compare ourselves to others. Jealousy and envy will fade. This is one that's on my step 6 and 7 list. I struggle with that. I often see people who are doing fabulously better than me in my industry, and I just say, why didn't that happen for me? And then I just realize, you know, God has a plan, and I'm good for it. Acceptance and gratitude, absolutely, will replace regret, self-pity, and longing. I work very hard on a daily basis, every single day, to express gratitude. And to accept, and there's a phrase that comes from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that says, patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And I'm very careful to look for that and to bring it forward to the point where I have one of those automated calendar functions at 1 a.m. every day. It pops up with a meeting notice called Patience, Tolerance, Kindliness, and Love. That's always the first thing that I see when I get up in the morning and I go to look at my computer or my smartphone or whatever. Okay. We will no longer fear the truth. We will move from hiding in denial to living in reality. Boy, I tell you, I did a lot of the same things expecting different results. I was not particularly sane until I came to DA and worked the 12 steps as well as the tools. And then it says, honesty will guide our actions towards a rich life filled with meaning and purpose. I practice that on a daily basis. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. Sometimes not. I sometimes have to figure out what the boundary is between when to express it and when not to. And then finally, we will recognize a power greater than ourselves as the source of our abundance. I love this phrase because it says that by working the steps, by becoming by being of service, by bringing that to the table, that the source of my abundance, which is the power greater than myself, that, you know, the universe is a giving, responding place. But the next phrase catches me up because I'm one of those people who could work on my own, but it says, we ask for help and guidance and have faith that they will come. And so I do have faith that help and guidance comes, and that's why I do prayer and meditation and listen to the promises and so forth. And then I just close with this statement, which I think really is delightful. All this and more is possible when we work this program with integrity and to the best of our ability, one day at a time, a life of prosperity and serenity will be ours. And
1 minute.
Thank you. I walked in the door and I got made debt-free in my mind, in my mental, and then now today by having worked for the last 30-odd years in tools and steps and so forth, that life of prosperity and serenity is mine, and I'm happy to give service to deal with it. And with that, I will stop, and thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Bill. That was wonderful. We really appreciate you being here. And I'm just going to remind our speakers after they speak to go ahead and press *6 to mute themselves. Thank you so much. Okay, wonderful. Our second speaker today is Kate E. from Connecticut in the United States. And she also serves on the BDA committee as a GFR with myself. And it's been such a pleasure to work with her and be of service in this way with her. I'm very excited to hear your experience, strength, and hope in regards to the promises coming true and your journey in BDA.
Thanks, Mary Jane. Can I be heard?
Oh, yes. And Kate, I'll just let you know that Bruce will give you a 10-minute warning, a 5-minute warning, and a 1-minute warning. And take it away.
Very good. Thank you so much. Hi, my name's Kate. I'm a debtor and a business owner. So glad to be on this call. Ah, so emotional. I'm so moved by what I just heard. Ah, trying to be present here. I feel so lucky to be in this program and to be among my fellows on this call. Thank you, Mary Jane, everybody doing service. So pleased to be on this committee. Really ramped up my DA program being of service in this last year. And so grateful. I came to BDA in 2000, 20 years ago, but I feel like I really came into BDA about 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, I was still going to meetings, but, you know, when they say the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop debting, I think that was the only tool I was actually working for the first couple of years. And I wasn't a compulsive spender. I paid my bills late. I paid my taxes late. I sent in my taxes even when the government owed me money, which was often. I just didn't want to do paperwork. And, you know, there's that thing where they say many of us thought business was for other people other than ourselves, and that was definitely me. And I'm so glad, you know, after you've been in some other rooms and you come to DA and you go to a DA business meeting and they're taken so seriously and they're done so well with the Roberts rules and stuff, I now, like, love business meetings. I love being of service in business meetings. That is really a miracle. So I, just continuing a little bit of how it was, I'm from a middle-class family as well. My dad came from extreme wealth and grew up in a hotel in New York City and didn't know there was a depression. And by the time he was about 25, all the money was gone. But he did well. He was an entrepreneur and was part of, like, the Young Presidents Organization. And he was my role model. But then he kind of lost it all. Both of his businesses closed, and he was declared bankruptcy in my mother's name so he could continue debting for his businesses. And he was borrowing money from me and my siblings. So with a lot of pride, I did try and 12-step him into DA, and he told me nobody knows how to declare bankruptcy in there. And that was kind of his take on the program, and I love him, and he was a debtor. And what I learned at his knee was, you know, the only people who talk about money are no money and new money. And you always pay the bill, and, you know, you always pick up the check, and you never ask how much things cost. And that didn't quite gel with what was happening in our family. And anyway, there was definitely a lot of confusion and a lot of chaos growing up in my family. And I feel really lucky that I got into an industry very early, like while I was in college and right after college, and I lived in New York City. And I was on the payroll working for other companies. So I wasn't really having to run my own business. And but I started doing jobs on the side, and I would be a 1099. And I remember there was this giant meeting in New York City, aptly addressed, at 12 West 12th Street. And there's like 100 people at this meeting when I used to go on Friday nights. And they would say in the BDA meeting, there was something in the opening about if you could share, if you had something fiduciary income. And I just remember hearing that word going, what? I don't even know what that is. I probably could never share here. You know, and it's funny, when I look it up now, it still doesn't apply to me. I think it has to do with the state. But at any rate, I just didn't think I had a business. I wasn't sure I had a business. And when my business started to become more of a gig economy, when I started being a 1099, I still didn't know if I had a business or not. And I'd moved to Connecticut when my son was born with my husband in 99. And I decided I didn't want to travel so much, so I'd go back to my old business, which was being a photographer. And I was really struggling, and my mentor said to me, I don't think your business is thriving because you're not really running a business. Do you have, like, accounts receivable and accounts payable? And I was like, what is that? Anyway, I just really wanted to stick my head in the sand and not do anything that had to do with running a business. And at one point, I was approached about starting a commercial production company, and I was like, no, I don't know how to do the paperwork. So there is like a shame thread running through all of my debting behavior, you know, and I'm sure everyone knows that acronym of should have already mastered everything, but so much shame about what I didn't know how to do. So even though I was starting up this new business as a photographer, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't want to ask anybody. I didn't even know who to ask. And I remember going to a BDA meeting, and there was someone I knew there from regular DA, and she said, well, let me come over to your house. I'm going to teach you how to balance your checkbook. And I was so humiliated. But she came over, and I was like, oh, that's how you do it? So, you know, I just want to say that's a thread that has kept going. Like, I don't want to ask, but I'm so grateful to her. And I've helped many other people. You know, there's another promise from another program, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can help others. And that that really has been true for me. You know, just all the stuff that I thought was so shameful, not like anyone's really paying attention, but that I thought was so shameful and I didn't want to ask. Anyway, so I did start this business. I still was working in my other business. I did learn that I am a business owner, but it's really been a long journey to run this, you know, to honor that I'm a business owner. So getting back to the promises, I love the first promise where once we felt Venus, we'll experience a newfound hope. I also, you know, the original promises, which we used to use the AA promises, and the very first one, I think, is, you know, our whole outlook and attitude upon life will change. And both of those are big words, you know, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change, and, you know, we'll have a newfound hope. But I truly do today. I truly, I feel so much more confident. I trust myself so much more now, you know, thanks to my sponsor, thanks to the steps. And I wanted to share that when I did the steps a couple of years ago, my then sponsor, he kept encouraging me whenever I wrote anything to really kind of put it through this filter of, you know, the five character defects and, you know, where was I fearful, selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and inconsiderate. And that was so humbling to do. And sort of to counteract that, he gave me this assignment that every day, I had to do four affirmations linked to my higher power. And I should do them over the most mundane things. Like, and the pronouns are a little confusing, but like if you empty the dishwasher or you make your bed or you put gas in the car or you, you know, called someone back, to each time to follow it with, good job, Kate. That's more God's success than mine. So even though I had been around other 12-step programs and I had done lots of affirmations, that's such a great part of our fellowship, somehow linking it to my higher power was very magical. And he has told me that the reason why is so that when something difficult, truly difficult is happening, you're remembering all these affirmations linking it to God, so that if you get a speeding ticket and, you know, a cop pulls you over, which actually happened to me last week, that I can say while I'm there, well, that's unfortunate, but good job, Kate. You know, it's more God's stress than mine that I'm here, I'm talking to the man reasonably, I'm admitting, I'm honest, you're right, that was wrong, I was speeding. Anyway, I feel like this program has certainly given me the tools to live with honesty and integrity, and I'm just trying to find the one that has that in there.
There's 10 minutes left.
Thank you. Honesty will guide our actions toward a rich life filled with meaning and purpose. And you know that joke that AA ruins your drinking? And, you know, it's not that DA ruins your debting, although it certainly does. It's certainly any kind of, like, as my friend calls it, my inner weasel that might want to make decisions. I know now that unless I am working my program, unless I'm in touch with my fellows, and that means like making calls and having PRGs and all that stuff we know about, I'm not really working my program. But I know now, in terms of honesty, that's always the course I want to go now, and that is very, very new. I wanted to tell a story about my one of my earliest PRGs, because I was so like shame-based, and I thought the worst thing that could happen after growing up with my dad and his messages was that I could bounce a check. You know, back then, it was all about checks. There was no, like, Venmo and Apple Pay and all that stuff. Like, oh, my God, if I bounce a check, what's anyone going to think? The shame. And so my pressure woman was telling me, you know, well, what are you going to do about your checking plus overdraft? And I was like, I just can't. And she said, oh, so you have more faith in debt than you do in God. And I think I canceled it, like, that day. I also had been telling my husband, but I hardly ever use it. And he said, well, but you have your $10,000 in debt, your checking plus overdraft. I think you're using it. So I'm so grateful that I'm sort of asleep at the wheel early on there and not really even knowing how to run a business, and stay solvent with it. So I just feel like I was such a baby coming into this program and, you know, just learning all these tools on actually how to run a business. You know, and it's hard to run a business. You know, if anyone told me at the beginning about the accounting and the marketing and the bookkeeping and the promotion, and, you know, I'm not sure I would have become a business owner, but I'm glad that I did. It's definitely not for the faint of heart. I also took on a pricing partner a few years ago. That's the under-earning part of my disease, is that I, you know, left on my own devices, that sort of financial codependency, I won't charge what's appropriate. I won't charge what's on my pricing sheet. So I started making a bookending call about pricing. My pricing partner is not available at the moment for some health reasons, and I'm really missing it, and I can really tell, like, the compulsion to drop it down. Somebody said something really funny in the other meeting where she was saying, well, if I see something that costs $100, I go, well, it's $100. But when I want to charge my clients $100, I'm like, oh, my God, $100? So I really relate to that. Like, my brain's definitely a little skewed about it. Number eight, we will cease to compare ourselves to others. Jealousy and envy will fade. I remember hearing in meetings from this other photographer who I really admired that most of her work came from other photographers. And I was like, oh, my God, really? And I was so secretive and competing with them. And today I'm so grateful. That is where most of my work comes from in terms of retail clients. They all come from other photographers. I almost never book these sort of big personal events. They all come from other photographers. And I'm so grateful to work with them. And you know, be able to subcontract them and them subcontract me. I also started a miracle book in 2012. I highly recommend it if you haven't ever done one. I was actually just reading through it before I got on the call. And I feel like the, you know, we recognize the power greater than ourselves is the source of our abundance. I feel like there's so many things that have happened to me in my DA and BDA recovery that I never could have come up with, you know. And I'm blessed that I have some family members in this program, and my sister would always say to me, you know, your puny little mind has no idea what God has in store for you. So, like, in other words, stop trying to come up with the solutions or the what ifs. You know, you can't even imagine what your higher power has in store for you. And so when I read this miracle book, I'm reminded of all these just amazing things that happen. And, you know, being the person with anxiety, it's so great to have this book to read. I have to revisit it again. You know, all the stuff that I've really worried about, you know, my husband always says, if I look at what I was so freaked out about last year, I can't remember what it was anymore. And that's really, you know, building a faith consciousness. Acceptance and gratitude will replace regret, self-pity, and loneliness.
That's five left.
Thanks, Bruce. Every day I wake up, I thank God like 50 times before I even like get to the kitchen. I'm just so grateful. And I feel like that's a great antidote to anxiety, is really being having acceptance and gratitude. I also want to put in a plug for the seven-step prayer. My sponsor reminded me that after, if I said a seven-step prayer to kind of tack on my character defects at the end of them. So I will say it, God, please remove every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And that includes patience, tolerance. Oh, sorry, that was what Bill said. I love that, patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. For me, that means letting go of distrust, suspicion, intolerance, and impatience. And still think those do seem to be my default, is going to those. And that's really a fear-based way to go through my life. My son is now 20 years old. He's a junior in college. And another miracle from my higher power is I had no idea how we were going to pay for his college education. And it was the last time that I really seriously debted. Someone said to me, you know, you're your child's education is an investment. And so I didn't really ask anyone, and the university was offering me this loan, and I took it. And I took the second one at the beginning of 2017. And I now am in debt to the university. I have student loan debt. And, you know, God bless my son. He's gotten tons of scholarships. And this junior year that he's in now was greatly reduced. So I came up with this plan that someone else told me about, that if you take a co-signed loan out with your child, then it isn't really your loan. It isn't really your debt. And I heard that, again, didn't run it past my sponsor. Actually, when I talked to her, she said, you put yourself through college. Your pressure man put himself through college. I put myself through college. Your son can put himself through college. And I've come such a long way from this position with my son of like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I can't pay for your entire college education, to it's become a business meeting with him. Now that he has a lot of his own scholarships, and he now has his own student loans he's chosen to take because he had to. We talk about what he owes, how much he will owe when he's done, how important it is for him to continue to get scholarships. And I'm really pleased for him. I feel like I'm really breaking the chain. My parents told me they couldn't pay for my school anymore when I was in second semester of school when I was a freshman. And I've been very transparent. We've been very transparent with our son and telling him what to expect and how much he'll earn when he gets out and all that. But I was going to get this co-signing loan, kind of do a, you know, some kind of go around the debting issue, because it would be my son's debt, but you know, I'd be responsible for it. But because I have so much student loan debt, I got rejected 3 times for co-signing loans because my debt to income ratio wasn't enough. So I feel like that is God stepping in, going, you don't need to do this. Have some faith. We pay about half of what we have in the previous 2 years. Because
1 minute.
Thank you, because so many of his scholarships. So we have 3 more payments to go in his junior year, thank God, but we've been able to do it, and that is really a miracle. And lastly, I just want to close with I'm a big fan of vision work, and I visioned for my business with my sponsor, had suggested that I put $14,000 at the top of every month, and then every time I got paid to just reduce the number. And for the first time, probably in the last 10 years, last November, that is, I earned more than that by month. And so I'm going to keep writing that and keep working the tools of this program and reminding myself to stay in touch with my fellows, because I sure can't do it by myself, even though sometimes I would like to. So thanks for listening. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much for sharing with us your experience, strength, and hope. And personally, thank you so much for your service on this committee and making this call possible. This is wonderful. All right. So now we'll move to our third speaker, Carolyn from California in the United States. Carolyn will be offering, and I just want to remind everyone after they speak to go ahead and *6. To mute again. So Carolyn will be offering her experience, strength, and hope in regards to her journey in PDA and the promises coming true for her on her journey in PDA. Carolyn, we're so happy to have you on this call, and our fantastic timekeeper, Bruce, will give you a 10-minute warning, a 5-minute warning, and a 1-minute warning. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
You're welcome. Hi, everyone. I'm Carolyn, and I'm a debtor. And bear with me. I'm just getting off one of those nasty cold bug that seems to have taken over the planet. So I'm loaded down with cough drops, and I might have to take a little break to sip some water. But thank you to the prior speakers, Bill and Kate, and to the other Kate who asked me to speak. I'm thrilled to be amongst fellow BDA members. I had the honor of serving on the BDA committee at the, I think it was the Detroit, Denver, and Dallas, the 3Ds World Service Conference. I think it was back in the 90s sometime, but kind of a great, great deepening of my program, having that opportunity to serve. I appreciate the focus on the promises. Number 2 really stands out for me. Clarity will replace vagueness. It was 12-stepped by an employee who was in BDA and has obviously was observing the way I ran my company. And I had already been in two fellowships prior to coming to BDA. So I knew that, you know, they don't arrest you when you go to meetings. They don't tell your parents that it's a safe place. So when she recommended that, she said, Carolyn, you know, I go to this group that I think you would really benefit from for your business. So I was, okay, I'll try anything. And I walked into this was in 1988 in Los Angeles at that time. BDA was very small. I think what became my home group had 7 members. And it was a Saturday meeting in a bank, which everyone, the leader of that meeting felt it was important to be in a prosperous environment. So he got a community room in a bank on Saturdays. And I was I was pretty baffled by listening to the readings. I was surprised I didn't run screaming from the room because everything that they suggested be done for a business, I had never even fathomed. Vagueness was my biggest problem. I paid all of my employees. They had vacations, bonuses, and I did none of that. I felt if you're happy, I'm happy. And I never balanced a checkbook prior to coming into BDA. I just kind of kept a stash, never let my balance get too low. But the clarity that came from working the program is realizing that I always had an underlying despair, fear, uncertainty, because I really never knew how much money I had. And I lived from vacation to vacation. I would make enough money and then go and take a vacation, pile up. I never had savings, so to speak. But so it was probably unbeknownst to me, a very nerve-wracking, and as it says in the second part of Promise 2, confidence and intuition will replace confusion and chaos. Now, I didn't see it as confusion and chaos because my company was quite prosperous. I had one of the first PR agencies in the arts in Southern California, so I was just like shooting fish in a barrel. Everybody who wanted somebody to represent them came to my company, but it was pretty chaotic. Everybody was an overworker. I paid them well, but I only took a draw. So it really was an eye-opener when immediately in the meeting they said, you've got to start to keep your numbers. Well, I had no idea even what that meant, and it was shocking to me to start to, you know, I used the categories and had a little booklet, and I wrote them down, and just within 3 weeks, I realized the stress and how I acted. I could tell my Snickers bar habit went through the roof because I used sugar and sweets to kind of take care of all of my stress. And it was amazing to me in my early PRGs about how diabolically, spiritually revealing the categories are in the numbers book about, you know, personal care and entertainment. I was never worried about paying off debt because I loathed paying my bills. I didn't like to pay the doctors. I felt the medical profession was a ripoff. I had so many prejudices around money. It was appalling in retrospect to look at that. So I, you know, just that keeping the numbers was such a grounding experience for me, since I had never done that. And in that small group, you know, everyone had had a PRG, and I was like the last one around the table. So I had my first PRG, and yes, I was very nervous, and I kind of brought my numbers, and they immediately said, well, let's schedule your next one. Well, I thought, well, this will be a year from now. And they scheduled me 5 consecutive PRGs over the next 2 months. They felt that my ship was so unmoored that I needed that much support. And it changed my life. And I wanted to kind of jump ahead to Promise 12. We will recognize a power greater than ourselves as the source of our abundance. In all of my experience, I've been in the fellowships now for about 34 years, that it was BDA that gave me the deepest spiritual experience of my life, in that I had always felt that earning was the answer to everything. My parents were lifelong, I was raised in Washington, D.C., and they were lifelong federal government workers. They had big pensions, so I had a strong work ethic, but a lot of it was based in fear that there was never going to be enough. So it was all about the money. There was no real gratitude about the source or abundance. It was kind of fear-driven, and that's a great impetus to be successful, but it doesn't leave you much serenity. And so I just found that, and I think a lot of us have heard that it's not about the money in a DA and BDA, and I really learned that. It didn't matter, you know, how much money I earned. I was just as frightened and just as insecure. And ironically, I'm kind of on the other end of this, the earning spectrum. I have, due to the diligence of BDA in my, I guess, the early couple of years, a group of us started to learn about investment for retirement. And I was in my 30s. I mean, who thinks about retirement? But my mother suggested that I might want to look, you know, think about the long term. And working in the arts, you never think about long term. For me, I was in the nonprofit world. I never thought of really success and big money. But I am now in kind of semi-retirement. I have taken Social Security. My investments have made it possible that my portfolio is quite abundant. And at one juncture, I took a job when the economy tanked in the 90s. I took a position for a decade, and so I now have a pension from that. So BA and BDA have guided me on how to cobble together all of these income streams. And again, I have my BFA. I know nothing about business. I have learned it all through, you know, being in the rooms. Promise number seven.
I missed 10.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Bruce. On promise number seven, we will recognize that there is enough. Our resources will be generous, and we will share them with others and with DA. I could never pay back the generosity, the immense generosity that I've gotten from fellow members who have everything I've learned, how to write a contract, how to negotiate, how to take a stand for myself. One of the biggest ones is, you know, what was my self-worth? I had no idea that underneath all of this fear and everything was low self-esteem. The anger when, you know, I wasn't paid enough by a client, well, I didn't know how to take a stand and say, this is what I'm worth, and have pride in that I have these skills, and it's a gift that I bring to my business. But through, you know, spiritual work and retreats and visions retreats and being of service in the World Service Conferences, and that I got clarity around, this is what my industry charges. It's a privilege to be of service. So I think probably one of the biggest parts of the disease, and it goes back to that vagueness. If it's very difficult to have confidence if I don't believe that a higher power has my back, and that if this is a wonderful cartoon, it's a director's chair, and it says on the back, it says, relax, God is in charge. And when I realized that my higher power is my employer, my clients are not my higher power, the people I owe money to are not my higher power, my mortgage broker is not my higher power, then everything is good. So I've been so transformed, it's almost unrecognizable to me that here in this kind of, like, I think it's like the third quarter of my life, I am financially solvent. and I'm pursuing creative dreams that I never thought even possible. Throughout all of my working life, I've had a creative life on the side. I just never thought one could make money as an artist. And I am an artist and a writer. And this fall, I came out with my debut book, which was a bestseller. And no one could be more surprised than me. I had PRGs around this book. I have shared in workshops and innumerable one-on-ones with my sponsor, who is also in the creative field, about my fear of being who I am. And again, this is in promise number 9, acceptance and gratitude will replace regret, self-pity, and longing. I knew down deep that I had to express something that I wanted to share, and it was about never putting off your dreams. This was literally my father's message to me on his deathbed after 35 years of working for the federal government. He literally got cancer the year he retired and he died. And he told me never to put off my dreams. And this was startling to me, but it took me a couple of decades to have the courage to really step up and take that leap. But because of BDA, I had the financial and spiritual security that it was very tough for me, and I've spoken on some retirement workshops, to put money away in savings, because I always felt I had to have that stash. I need to have that liquidity of money I can get a hold of. And I didn't realize that my money can work for me, and that if I was investing money, even though I couldn't get my little fear, greedy hands on it, that money was working for me. And here I am, you know, 30-odd years later. Thank you, Bruce. 30 years later, and I've cobbled together with my Social Security income and my pension, and it's this pretty solid, fixed income base. And now I am, I'm not going to get rich from this book. You've got to have a real bodice ripper romance novel, I think, to make big money. But I'm also exploring teaching. I've been invited to teach a graduate course in my field in the local university. So I don't even know. This is where I really lean into my higher power these days. I didn't have such a great relationship with a power greater than myself, because I thought I was that power. You know, I was running the show, and even though it was pretty vague and it was all over the place, I thought it was a pretty good deal, but thanks to the clarity provided by my sponsor and my fellows and my PRG people to say, maybe I don't have all the answers. Maybe I'd be willing to listen to some suggestions from other people. And it's opened so many amazing doors. For those who, I don't know if anyone came to Los Angeles for the World Service Conference, it was such a celebration last summer to welcome people from around the world and around the country, and to be able to say, doesn't matter how dark it is, there is recovery, and your life will change. So let me see if there's anything I missed on any of these. I guess the very final phrase in the promise is, all of this and more is possible. When we work this program with integrity and to the best of our ability, one day at a time, a life of prosperity and serenity will be ours. And I have to add that, and beyond our wildest dreams. I just, I never thought, and I can't believe I haven't coughed during this whole time. This is probably the longest this cold has been suppressed the whole time. So again, thank you so much for asking me to participate on this call, and I look forward to hearing from people who are sharing. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. That was wonderful. We're so glad that you were able to share your experience, strength, and hope with us today. Glad you're feeling better. Okay, so at this point, I just want to let everyone know before I end the recording that the Promises pamphlet, and I know we've been talking about the Promises Coming True today, is available for sale on the DA website. So there you can purchase a beautiful pamphlet about the promises, which we were able to see at the World Service Conference, and it's phenomenal. Okay, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and end the recording. Okay, give me one second.